Okay. What did you have in mind with Brahmacharya is the ghostly?
Because you were given a homage to ghostly, I said that manners and the books were open, that when yourself visits and another will visit it, and you could get some specific talks for some branches.
Okay, I'm not sure what they want down there either. Let me just say what we mean. We have 45 minutes by Brahmacharya. As far as I understand, there's two types of Brahmacharyas. Those who are lifelong Brahmacharya, and then those who are getting Brahmacharya training. Brahmacharya means celibacy. And then the basic formula in Narada Muni says is Brahmacharya Guru Kuli Vasadanto Guru Oritan. Brahmacharya is living at the ashram. He Guror Hitan. He gives up all sense of independence and freedom, and he's just living for the pleasure of the Guru, practicing celibacy. And then, in the traditional Varnashram sense, that starts at age 5. And then goes for 20 years or thereabouts. And then at that stage, the Brahmacharya decides, in consultation with the person who's been guiding him, Guru, should he continue this? Can he continue this for the rest of his life? Or should he actually now marry? And that decision should be based upon a real sort of honest assessment of who he is, his guna karma, and then he may enter grihastha ashram, which it seems most people do, or he just takes a vow of lifelong celibacy, and he's as good as a sannyasi, except that he stays in the brahmachari ashram instead of the sannyasa ashram, because different things are expected of a sannyasi than a brahmachari. Brahmacharya and sannyasi means automatically guru. Brahmacharya means you're not obliged to take that responsibility. I don't need Diksha Guru. I mean, he's guru of all the Varnas ashram. It's automatically he has to be in a position of getting the respect and giving guidance to everyone who is Brahmacharya. He doesn't have to be in that position. And then there'll be certain common characteristics and traits to these two types of brahmacharis. One is how they live, and how they accept discipline, how they're nirmama moha, ajita sangha dosha, how they have no possessions, and they're just yes men. Just tell me what to do, and they're like foot soldiers in the army. And they have a very simple lifestyle. So Narada Muni continues, and that's what Srila Prabhupada raises often, is that their mentality is such that they don't ask for anything. So the example then is that if they're not called to eat, they don't ask to eat. What happened with prasad? Now that's a real brahmacharya. So if after 20 years that meant psychology hasn't evolved, then you should be a grihastha. And a brahmacharya, it's fine. Whatever. Just like earlier, I was asking him, is he going to India? And he said, I'm waiting for Prana to tell me what to do, so that's a brahmacharya. January. It's not supposed to be going. He doesn't make demands. He's in a very, very submissive mode. And of course, that's the obligation from the branch. And what's his right? Because everyone has rights. He has yama and niyama. He has his rights and he has his obligations. He should live in an ashram where there's no agitation, there's no presence of the opposite, members of the opposite sex, there's no discussion of that type of thing, of marriage and so on. In other words, his consciousness is protected. He receives that type of protection. And then, of course, the idea isn't that he should be, you know, just sent out on Sankirtan and then starved to death, and you just throw him a bone once a week and he should be satisfied. In other words, the basic necessities of life should be taken care of, because he's not just a brahmachari, he's a Vaishnav. He is a soldier. Soldiers do deserve to have the best, since they're fighting, especially if they're going out on Sankirtan. But he doesn't demand it. He just accepts what he gets, so it's an interesting balance. You know, some other people, they say, no, these are my rights, you have to give it to me. But Brahmachari doesn't necessarily do that. He may be aware of what those rights are, but he knows I'm just Brahma, Janati, Brahmana. He's just depending on Krishna. So this... When Krishna said this verse, Nimamma Moha Jita Sangha Dosa Adhyatma. So Prabhupada says, this is the process of surrender. He's practicing how to surrender. And so he just sees whatever arrangement, situation he finds himself in. I'm in a situation where I'm learning how to surrender. These are all Krishna's arrangements. And it's a very simple life. It's a life of simplicity. And then he has no possessions. So brahmacharis don't have bank accounts, they don't get wages, they don't have any possessions. Nimamma moha. I don't have anything. Everything just belongs to the ashram. Everything belongs to Krishna, to the temple, to ISKCON Scotland. So, you know, often when we talk about brahmacharya, we talk about how to remain celibate, should, you know, stay free from female association for life. That's just a consequence of the right mentality. If the right mentality isn't there, then it's all artificial. It won't work. You have to have the right type of lifestyle, the right type of psychology. And if someone's not going to be a brahmachari for life, then that's good. That's nice. But that brahmachari training is really invaluable. And that's why everyone should get it. So I was just down in London, and one Indian boy was coming to me who'd finished university, and he had a job, and they laid him off. And they said, we'll take you back up in October. So he wanted to sort of like travel around and, you know, go to kirtans in different places. And I told him, forget it. Move in the temple and stop calling the shots and just, you know, learn what it means to be told what to do. Because living at home, that's not what you learned. Your mother never told you to take a cold shower, and she never will. And, you know, your father's just, yeah, whatever you want. You want a ticket to go to Mayapur, you know, for a Harina festival, and that's not life. That's not brahmacharya. You can go in and just get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and if they tell you to go out on Sankirtan, go on Sankirtan, take a wash pots, then go wash pots. Because you never get that experience again. And without it, you won't really develop real character. So it's like, you know, I'm just looking around, all the devotees who are here, whether it's prana or atoksuja, or, you know, everyone's had that experience, even though they're in the grihastha ashram. And you ask all those grihasthas or charu or others, you know, you don't, it's a foundation. And if you don't, and that's the Vedic system, is that all grihastha should go through this. Otherwise, you're like building a house with no foundations. And the ladies, now, you know, in ISKCON, even ladies can be Brahmacharinis, because, so even that's, that makes it even better in one sense. But for the men, it's like compulsory. And when devotees don't have that experience, at least some experience, it's not the same. It's not the same. You have to know what it's like. Go to sleep. Get up. Shut up. Get out the door. You have to know what that's like. That's discipline. Because when you're on your own and you're living in your own place, who's going to, unless you've learned discipline, how are you going to discipline yourself? And that's why in Gurukul system, why do the parents leave? Why should they go to them? Because the parents are limited into how much they will discipline you. They will not make you take a cold shower. They will not, you know, like just like Prabhupada said, that, you know, his father would come home late at night and he would wake up and then he would want puris and his mother would want him to go back to him. And the father said, no. You have to cook puris for him now. And who knows when it was, 11 o'clock at night, you know. That's what parents do to children. But you can't do that. You just wake up, prana, I want some puris. I'm going to come over and give you a puri on the back of the neck. If you don't get back to sleep. So, and if you can't discipline yourself, how do you become Krishna conscious? Krishna consciousness means sense control. And if you're living in the Grihastha ashram, if you haven't learned mind control and sense control by then, you're in trouble. So it is very important that training, and everyone, all devotees should get it. Ideally, it would be good if they got it for like 5 years. Devotees come, 20 years old, Krishna consciousness, and at least get 5 years of that, and then when you're hitting that same age period, 24, 25 years, then, all right, what's the future? But it's very important, and then you can be either you can remain a lifelong brahmachari, or you can become a grihastha brahmachari. But if you don't get that, it'll be Either it's running in your blood because you've got good samskaras, which is getting rarer and rarer nowadays, or you just become an enjoyer. So I'm just making that emphasis that I don't want to emphasize that everyone should remain lifelong brahmachari and, you know, spit on household life and female association, because it tends not necessarily to be the reality, and it's not the way we approach things. But that everyone should get brahmachari training, and it's good for you, and it really makes character, and it really makes it's the basis for good grihastha life, because our grihasthas are also brahmacharis. That's the difference, right? You know, grihasthas are it. Just like, you know, in an Indian community, I mean, outside ISKCON or even the Vedic community, often the thing is, you know, grihasthas fallen. And of course, every Vaishnava thinks themselves fallen, but they're fallen because they're not controlling their senses. But in a Krishna conscious grihastha ashram, they are controlling their senses. So, you know, they may have a different type of attachment. Yes, we want to have a family, but they're doing it in a kamasmi, they're doing it in a very religious way. So the self-control is a very, very important thing, and it's sort of the essence of brahmacharya. Selflessness, no possessions, obedience, strict obedience, control of mind and senses. It's like the basis of spiritual life. If you catch it, then it doesn't matter what it is. Grihi vavane te taki. Doesn't matter what the ashram is after. But without that foundation, then you're going to be in trouble. And then Krishna says, Parmani Viktaraste, Mapalesha Kadachana, Makarma Palahitubu, Mastisango Karmani, Yogastakuru Karmani, Sangat Chaptadananjata, Siddhas Siddhas, Mabhuta, Samatham, Yoga Uchate. He says, yes, everyone should work. And everyone should actually live according to their nature. But someone actually whose restraints his senses artificially, but his mind's always mityacharaso chate, but his mind's always dwelling on sense objects. In other words, brahmachari, so-called someone who's brahmachari, but is always thinking about women, he's in a fallen position. He's not as elevated as a grihastha who's actually even working and is rightly situated. And because he's rightly situated, his mind is in control. So it's a very important thing that, you know, we're not an externals-based society. Prabhupada was a grihastha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a grihastha. Bhaktisanta Saraswati was a Naishtiki Brahmachari. Gaurakishoredas Babaji was a grihastha before he became a Babaji. Jagannathdas Babaji, I don't remember what his previous to that was. So it's what you are inside. It's important, not how you dress. And how you are inside depends upon how you live. Depends upon your practices that you adopt. How serious we are about devotional life. And then, of course, what's really common characteristic of brahmacharya is a study. The study of Shastra. That's what I was just talking about. That, you know, our minds are so full of so many things, especially when you come to Krishna consciousness. It's like a fog. That only purification of the heart is going to bring clarity. Even sometimes just people get instructions and they get more confused. It's like, I'm going to give an example. If it's like a dense fog and you bump into someone and you say, which way is this? And he says, this way. And you take 3 steps and you're already lost again. So directions in a fog are really sort of, so the only thing that really helps is if the fog gets dissipated, then, you know, directions make sense, and actually you can see the signposts yourself. So strong spiritual practices that purify all the cheto darpana marjanam, all the dirty things in the heart. And devotees have that experience that, you know, the best guide in Krishna consciousness is just as the mind becomes free of all of the tamas and rajas, then things just become clear. And for that really good japa, and it has to be good, and study of Shastra, because that was the other thing that we were talking about, because Shastra is the law. Shastra vidmutsuja vartate kamakarata. So it's like engineering. You know, so we think, well, I got this idea and that idea, and my mind tells me this, and how do I know what's good, Krishna conscious, what's Maya? And, well, what does the Shastra say? That's the basis. So it's like you're an engineer. So there's laws. There's laws of stress and strain and mechanics and tension and so many other things. So you got an idea for building a bridge. That's fine. It's great. But if you're contravening the laws of, you know, mechanical engineering, then it's going to collapse, and it's a lousy idea. But if it fits in with that, then fine, then you do it. So you got to know the laws, and then if you have ideas that go along with the laws, then it's fine. But if they contravene the laws, then forget it. And devotee association is imperative, but it shouldn't be that I'm too lazy to learn the books, and because someone else has, therefore I'm nagging him all the time, because I'm just taking advantage of his learning. In the beginning, it's all right, because you're not expected to be learned in the beginning. but you're expected to learn. And after a while, devotees are expected to be the ones who are actually giving the shelter and the guidance. So, you know, when it's an issue of how to understand this and how to better apply that, which is in Shastra, that should be what Sadhu Sangha is for, not like, I can't even turn left or right, I don't know whether to blow my nose with my left hand or my right hand, unless someone tells me, then that's too much. So much Srila Prabhupada talked about this idea that devotees should be thinkers, sometimes use the word independent thinkers. In other words, they should be able to think, they should be able to use scripture in order to know how to conduct things. And then when they need verification of that, or correction, or further enlightenment, then they consult with senior devotees on those things. So Brahmacharya's duty is really to know Shastra. And Shastra for us means Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. But just know that. And then you'll know what to do in Krishna consciousness, and you'll know where to go. And Shastra really means you're getting the whole essence. That's what devotee association is very valuable for. Machchitama, Gitapana, Bodhyanta, Parasparam. Discussing topics. What do you think about this verse? You just think, how often do you sit down as brahmacharis and discuss the verse of the Bhagavad Gita? What's your understanding of this? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is writing in I don't know whether it's in Sajjana Toshani, or but once he was on the train from Krishnagar to Calcutta with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur just went off. And then after he woke up, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him, what were you thinking of? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I was walking in the sky, and I came upon, I think it was Narada Muni and Lord Shiva and some other demigods, and they were discussing the verse of Ichiritsudharachara. So they asked me what my understanding of the verse was, so I gave them my explanation, and he gave the explanation. I said they really liked it. So that's what devotees do. That's what brahmacharis do. Because they get tushti, get satisfaction, and ramanti, and they get pleasure from that. So discussing brahmacharya, discussing Brahman, discussing about Krishna.